All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Welcome, everybody, to the Common Sense Show. Yes, this is a monster before you. No, I did not run into 10 liberals and had to kick their butt. You can see I got a black eye. I lost the battle with the eye surgeon. And you can see this thing here. Yes, I still bathe, but I got to wear this thing for 2 weeks because I can't go above 4,000 feet in elevation. This is a note to paramedics that if I suddenly fall over and they come to rescue me, I can't go flight for life. You believe this? Anyway, yeah, I got to wear this for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I got to sleep in a chair. I'm in a bad mood, so this is going to be a great interview. Okay, I'm telling you right now, I'm in a really bad mood, but this is going to be a great interview. This is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. I'm going to tell you about MyPillow, but I don't get to enjoy it because I got to sleep in a damn chair. But MyPillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges for all that great crap that I don't get to sleep on. You know, I can wear the damn slippers, and that's about it. Okay, but those nice pillow casing, those great bed sheets. Oh, am I pissed? Yes. Anyway, we have a very interesting topic. We have covered, I should say this, by MyPillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges. There we go. This is for you guys. I can't even use this crap. So, you know, look, this is a gift from me to you. I ain't benefiting from this. Think about me in the chair tonight, and I'll have my little sheet pulled over me. And no, it's not my pillow because I don't want to wreck it. Anyway, I've written a lot about mind control. Doug and I have done shows on Buffalo, Uvalde, and we talked about mind control entering in. This is why we see all these similarities in these shooters. They're all the same. Parkland, Uvalde, Buffalo, Fed involvement. I mean, we know all this. Well, we know now we've got some single threads coming, and Doug and I were speculating. We said that these subhuman creatures are manipulated to kill children. And about the only thing the government's catching is Alex Jones in a defamation suit. What a bunch of crap that was. So we're going to go through this tonight and let it be no doubt. And we're going to sing this from the rafters, that elements of our government, secret elements of the black ops, are behind these school shootings. And isn't it always interesting? They almost always never come out unless a Democrat is president. So rare to have one happen during a Republican presidency. And you wonder why I freaking hate the Democrats. They're subhuman. There's something wrong with them. They serve Satan. They're morally deprived. Anyway, you can tell I'm pissed. And my wife told me tonight, your pissed off level is higher than I think I've ever seen, at least for years. I love my wife. I'm still nice to her, but that's not the issue here. The issue is we have a bunch of buttholes running our government, and Doug and I are going to expose this on the Intel Report, Heroes Nation, wherever this goes, whoever sees it, we're going to expose it. And by the way, I'm doing an interview with Celeste coming up, and she's told me, if you do this, you're going to get killed. It's okay. I'll be in less pain. Doug, you ready? Well, you're like an intellectual baseball player.
Thanks, man. I feel like I'm gonna send a couple sliding curveballs at you.
God, you are Steve Renus. God, that I played high school basketball with. This is who you remind me of when I see this, man. You're like a dead giveaway for, he's not your age, he's my age, but what he looked like when he was your age. Steve Renus.
Well, he must be one hell of a handsome guy.
Hey, he, you know what, this is one good dude. Hell of a basketball player, great teammate, great friend, and I haven't seen him probably in 20 years, and we were friends for a long, long time. After high school, long time. Played college basketball too. He was a hell of a basketball player. That's what you remind me of. You know what? You know I'm going to be going to you know where, that lovely state I grew up in. I'm going to have to look him up. Anyway, we're on here with my friend lookalike, Doug Thornton, former Marine, former military contractor, former DHS, and he was on the front lines in Portland and knows how all those buttholes work. Hey, would you say Antifa? What do you think? Are they demonically possessed? What's wrong with those guys?
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. The amount of transsexuals that we saw with pentagrams and Baphomet Halloween masks on, reading us the manifesto, the communist cookbook, little red cookbook that they had.
Yeah,
they're demonically possessed. I mean, these people are sick, beyond sick, and that's not. It is mind control, and it's not. It literally just is.
Yeah, what
communism is. That's just, Doug, what it is.
I got to tell you now. I can't do this now that I'm a Christian, and plus I'm older. But in the old days, we'd have taken these guys out in the back and beat the dog crap out of them. Seriously, in the old days. Now that we're Christians, we can't really do that.
Well,
unless it's in self-defense.
Dave, when I was still in law enforcement, and more or less we just stopped arresting people because, you know, they would release them literally
Merrick Garland,
right out of our custody. So it was just free ass whoopings for everybody. So kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I still work out on the heavy bag. I'd like to have been there with you.
Well, I'm not going to say that there was a couple times where, you know, you got a punch or elbow in and Trump says, hello, handcuff.
I love it. I love it. Because there's some people that need to have their butt beat, seriously. And I am a Christian, but that's self-defense of country, self-defense of yourself. They endangered lives. They endangered law enforcement. Wasted our national resources, all at the behest of these Democrats. Those are Joe Biden's troops, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Merrick Garland's troops. You remember when he said in his congressional confirmation hearing for his position he now illegitimately holds that Antifa's riots aren't riots. If it's after five, then it's just a protest. Tell that to David Dorn's widow, retired lieutenant. Police force killed defending a liquor store by a thug. Yeah, tell that to his widow.
Well, all I can tell you is that you don't use dispersal agents, chemical dispersal agents, in a protest. That's a violation of the First Amendment right. So, you know, that
is. Are you kidding me?
Yep. That's what's used in an unlawful assembly or a riot. You know what? Maybe the cops know.
Yeah, I hear you. We're venting some frustrations here, folks, because we're being ruled by Nazi thugs. Merrick Garland is a Nazi thug. So is Christopher Wray. I found out today Peter Strzok is CIA. I got clear confirmation on that.
Huh.
Peter Strzok was put in his position at the FBI to do what he did with the Russian collusion delusion on behalf of the CIA. How do you like that for a news breaking item? That's pretty good. By the way, you know who gave that to me? My best military source. You know who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not surprised. Like, and, you know, some of the stuff that we're going to go over is the intelligence agencies, CIA, NSA, FBI, they all really merge into the same thing. They're all used for the same thing. Okay. Yeah. And they all have complete government overreach. And there's no ceiling on that overreach. And it's been known since the 50s that there's no ceiling on that government overreach. Even to the extent of the 1970s, a congressional hearing with the Churchill Group was called to do human rights investigations into the CIA, which then led into the FBI and DOD and their stuff. And you know what? Nothing happened. If anything, after MKUltra came out, they went into MKSearch to continue what they were doing after the Churchill investigation. So these people don't care. They don't care. They have a higher authority, and it is not the Senate, and it is not Congress.
You know where this all came from? I did some research on this. This came out of the OSS-CIA conversion in 1947,
uh-huh.
And this was Alan Dulles, Cabell, all these protected sacred cows from the Butthole Society. Seriously, folks, I'd like to say the real words because that's who they are. They're terrible, despicable people. And my dad was naval intel. He hated the CIA. He said they'd sell their own mother down the river to a team of rapists. And that's true. They would. They have no morals, no scruples. But that's where all this started, with those sacred cows in that movement. And, yeah. and the OSS worked with the mafia in the docks to spy on German spies. And so they had these mafia connections. And it never ended, because then they used the mafia to try to assassinate Fidel Castro. So this shit never ended. Excuse my French, but it never ended, folks. Never ended. The CIA is the mafia to some degree, and the mafia to some degree is the CIA.
Well, I mean, all thugs think alike, you know, and the FBI is the same. And yeah. You know, really, the people who get trampled down the most are the actual honest men and women who go there to serve and to protect, or at least think that they're there to serve and protect, until they realize they get caught up in a yo-yo-like effect. And every time they try to leave the hand that tells them what to do, bam, they get called right back. There is no real freedom for what they want to do. They're a paramilitary force. The CIA is, DHS is, ATF is. Every single federal law enforcement agency is a paramilitary group, period. Probably not the IRS.
No, they are now.
Well,
they're being trained to breach homes. The IRS, 7,000 armed agents.
The IRS and their training that their TIGDA agents go through, that's their 1811 agents, TIGDA agents, is a joke. And I've worked with a couple of those guys. The last time I dealt with a TIGDA agent from IRS, he was screaming at a civilian who was this skinny little lady. And he's a great big old dude, bigger than I am. And he's got a gun on him. He's got his badge out. And he had to whip his badge out all dramatic like. You can tell this guy's never had any street time. And I had already, you know, when you have so many years already built up in law enforcement, the need to be flamboyant and peacock, it's kind of beat out of you. You don't care anymore. So, you know, to see another guy do it, especially such a big bodybuilding looking guy, you're like, come on, man, you look pathetic. And we had to pull the guy aside and say, hey, did you go through the same training? You know, why are you treating this lady like this? You are amping up the situation now. You need to calm down, handle this subject the correct way, escort her out the building, because you can't write a ticket. You can't do anything else. You can't launch an investigation. You're just an agent. You're not an actual police officer. I was an actual police officer. It's like, so, you know, you need to calm yourself down and get the hell out, or I'll escort you both out. And the guy looked at me like, you can't do that. I sure as hell can, with handcuffs on. Don't think you can't get arrested. And there's a stupid side to people. Once they put the badge and the gun on, they think, a lot of them think that they themselves cannot be arrested. And that's a wrong. It's very, very wrong. You damn sure can. I was uniform police, right? So being that I was uniform police, my authority is what comes through over someone who is not uniform police, right? In an active shooter, we take over, because everybody knows uniforms. Nobody knows the guys who run around and you know, all different plain clothes. And especially when you start acting like an idiot, you know, these jurisdictions, they start to matter. Long story short, IRS law enforcement is a joke.
But it may ramp up because of what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You know, but you know what? It'll be ramped up to target people that they never said they would target.
Well, they're going to shoot people because they're going to overreact.
Well, I mean, if their training is anything else than stellar, which is not what I've been seeing for the past day for videos of the IRS training that's coming in. And I know where their training is done at. It's done in FLETC. It's done in Glencoe, Georgia. I know a lot of the instructors. I've been at the instructor meetings there, you know, for whenever we're going through instructorships. And I've watched the students and I've seen the people who come through, and it's not the same caliber. So like in 1811 training, just to be a special agent, everybody goes through the same training. So everybody learns how to be a special agent. It's a blanketed statement across the board. You have your like 3 months worth of learning, and then you go to your agency and they teach you your specialized stuff, right? And with IRS, you know, they teach you how to sharpen pencils and staple, you know, pieces of paper together, and then which donut shop gives, you know, the best what? Well, and
Krispy Kreme, baby, Krispy Kreme.
And they also teach them how, you know, how to destroy people on taxes. So, I don't think the IRS should be armed, personally. I think it's ridiculous. I think we honestly have way too much federal law enforcement. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, this is just right now. What'll happen in a year from now? Who will be the next agency that gets 80,000 people? Will it be the FBI? Will it be the NSA? Will it be the ATF?
It's going to be more IRS. They're going to paramilitary thug enforcement, and they're using this agency, as I told you the other night, because they're not under Posse Comitatus.
Well, I mean, they'll target everybody that they were never supposed to. That's what's going to happen.
I know. Well, that's the idea, because the average American is for Trump, and so this is Biden's answer to the average American.
Yeah,
we're coming for you, and we're going to use the taxes as an excuse to do it. But they're also coming for people to murder school children. And so I think this is going to be a two-parter, Doug. So I think we're going to have to divide this into two. There's so much voluminous material on this. And just what little bit you've told me you're bringing in, I know you got way more than one show's worth.
Yeah, well, for tonight, we were going to talk about the previously not very well known CIA operations. I currently have and going more and more over 130 pages worth of operations.
It's amazing.
And I mean, like, you know, you can only search through the databases so long until you just end up in a blank spot, right? But every time I search for an operation, this project, that, you know, you learn, hey, did you hear about this one and this one and this one? And then I go back through 120 pages worth of stuff. Lord, I haven't heard about these five new ones. And then you start learning everything that you can about this. And you know, I try to do everything by date. I think categorizing everything by date is very important, because it shows you the advances and the evolutions of the operation as it comes. Don't forget, you know, when we talk about mind control and the OSS, CIA, here's the question. Was it originally nefarious and malicious, or did it quickly get that way? You know, when we talk about intelligence gathering with the OSS, it's pretty good. We're talking about the Nazis. But it didn't take long after, you know, Operation Blue Book, Operation Paperclip, whenever we started picking up a bunch of people, and then most of the scientists that we don't pick up is kidnapped or inconveniently grabbed by Russia, and then now the new biological warfare race, the germ warfare race, the rocket race. And you just don't know what these people will come up with next. But our competition with Russia is what blew the rest of this way out of proportion. And we're talking about Nazi scientists on the Russian side developing this stuff on how to destroy the United States. And then you had the United States using Nazi scientists learning how to thwart and destroy the Russians. So who was really winning? The Nazis were. We said we defeated the Nazis, but then we both captured Nazis. Oh, by the way, the British did as well, but they didn't do as many things as we did with it. So both of these, you know, the Allied forces are now turned against each other. It's like if the Nazis were doing the perfect thing, wouldn't it? You know, the amount of atrocities, millions dead, torture. The biggest thing was Hitler's scientist and his vasectomologists. You know, these were people who were, you know, they're literally dissecting people. They're experimenting on people. And then they say, oh, no, it wasn't people. It were guinea pigs. Or they were this livestock or that livestock. And it's really because the German had then identified Jewish people as animals. Not as a cryptonym, like code name, like the CIA would use. They literally changed laws and identified them as animals.
Well, we've done the same thing with the UN. That's how we're classified as humans under Agenda 21. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we are technically, Celeste and I have done shows on this, and she's quoted chapter and verse. And I can't think of her name right now. Deborah Tavares. Sorry, Deborah. Deborah Tavares has done this too. She's done that thing. She's been on my show. I haven't been on for a while, but she did a lot on the same topic. And then I interviewed Rosa Corey, the late Rosa Corey. Oh gosh, probably 8-10 years ago. And she went through the same thing. We are animals, according to the United Nations.
Yeah.
And Doug, this goes back to, and we've been down this road, but I'll just clarify for someone who might be watching for the first time. Genesis 6 makes it clear there's two different genetic bloodlines here on the planet. And the Bible references both after the flood. And it's a lot of people's belief, and I'm entertaining this possibility, is a strong possibility, that the New World Order ultimately is controlled by people from that exceptional fallen angel bloodline, the Nephilim. And, of course, they contract with human traders to sell out their own. And I believe, and this is who's behind the child trafficking. This is who's behind the drugs, the viruses, the whole nine yards, folks. This is why they look at it as cattle and can do terrible things. You saw good old Yuvaldi Noah Harari from the World Economic Forum said there's too many people. We can't have this many people on the planet. So that's what we're doing. Anyway, we got kind of a limited shelf life tonight because yours truly probably can't go into the wee hours of the night. But I wanted to set up the discussion because I think we're going to have multiple shows on this. Jim Mars took the position you're taking. You haven't said this, but I know this is where it's headed, that the Nazis actually won World War II. I mean, look at Wernher von Braun took over NASA. What better example do you need?
Wernher von Braun and his associates, when they had given themselves up, were actually documented by our soldiers and by the OSS laughing about how they will use the cash cow, which is the rocket ingenuity program. And they will use that to maintain their way of life and then to carry out their existence in the United States and to live. They knew it. They laughed about it. Wernher von Braun had over 10,000 people killed creating the V-1 and V-2 rockets. That's the Vengeance 1 and Vengeance 2 rockets that Joseph Goebbels had him create. Joseph Goebbels is actually one of the reasons why we never got nuked. A lot of people don't know this. Joseph Goebbels, who was a complete asshole when it comes to being a strategist, got completely in the way of von Braun and what he was doing. It was von Braun who gave us the Saturn IX rockets. It was von Braun who gave us the multiple stage rockets, the two and three stage rockets.
Well, the V2 rocket, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So with the America Bomber Project, which was Joseph Goebbels, if he would have stayed out of the way, if he would have not been so focused on the Vengeance rocket program, and if they would have actually honed down, I think it was being done in Norway, the heavy water testing to create that atom event so that they could have the atom bomb. They could have actually created the first intercontinental ballistic missile and hit us with it because they were aiming for New York. And to try to go back to where we were originally, what we're talking about tonight is the ability to use mind control for assassinations. Where does that come from? So originally, this stuff comes from Nazi Germany, all right? The stuff that we used in the CIA comes from the studies of Nazi Germany, Nazi scientists, and then the Nazi scientists brought over in the continuation of their scientific tests. So to start that off with, we have Project Bluebird. Mm-hmm. Bluebird was the cryptonym for a CIA program that involved special interrogation methods. This included the use of drugs, hypnosis, isolation. It lasted from 1949 to 1950 when it was renamed Artichoke. And it would eventually become the infamous MK Ultra. The responsibility for the project mainly lays with the Office of Scientific Intelligence. That's where a few of the Nazi scientists went over to work for the CIA, like Kurt Blum. I think he was one of them. Artichoke. All right. So hang on to your seats, boys and girls. We really did what I'm about to tell you. Also referred to as Operation Artichoke, was a CIA project that researched interrogation methods. Now, when we say interrogation methods, we do mean tortured, okay? Artichoke officially came in August 20th, 1951, by the Office of Scientific Intelligence of the CIA. The primary goal of Artichoke was to determine whether a person could be involuntarily made to perform an act of attempted assassination. The project also studied hypnosis, forced morphine addiction, and subsequent forced withdrawal, and the use of other chemicals, including LSD, to produce amnesia and other vulnerable states in subjects. Now, we're going to stay right there because this is where we talk about active shooters. Buffalo, New York. That kid coming off of the meds. And Dave, as you and I have described before, the stretching of the rubber band and then the subsequent snapping is the mind of a person being strung out on drugs, and then drugs are taken away, and bam, back to reality. The mind is not prepared. The mind is fractured. The body is dealing with poison. A lot of very traumatic things happen, and the mind completely loses the ability for self-control and manipulation, and other things happen. And we have the potentiality for someone to be controlled through mind control. You have to break the mind, make the mind susceptible and malleable to be manipulated, right? So that's where the hypnosis part came in. And there are so many different layers of hypnosis. I'll let Dave talk about that. He's more of an expert on it than me. But they would use hypnosis, morphine addiction, okay, creating those highs and those lows, and then the withdrawal of the body not being properly brought down from that high, and the use of other chemicals like LSD, which is a what? A hallucinogen. So I'm hearing voices. Yes, you are. It's called hypnosis. I'm seeing things that aren't there. Yes, you are. It's called LSD hallucinations. My mind's all over the place and so are my emotions. Okay, that's from the addictions and the withdrawals. What about amnesia? Why is it that whenever these people go on their killing sprees, many of them seem to have a deer in the headlights look after they are being arrested?
Yeah, maybe we should break it down hypnotically before you go farther.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, because there's two different layers of amnesia that needs to be talked
about. When you're talking about the amnesia, you're talking about Holmes, you know, the Batman shooter in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was about a mile and a half away where from where I grew up. Generally, excuse me, I've been doing this all day long, getting rid of this anesthesia. Generally speaking, most people are protected from doing things against their will because of a principle we call perceptual defense. It's kind of the guiding mechanism for who and what you are. It's thought to be largely unconsciously controlled. So if I were to hypnotize Doug and I'd say, all right, I want you to go out and rob the grocery store, bring me the money, and then forget you did it. If you were under hypnosis at that time, you would immediately snap out of it because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. The person's just a guide. But you would snap out of it and you'd say, you're crazy, I'm out of here. But here's the deal. Yeah, there's two ways I can go with this. I'm going to go with the standard, and then I'm going to put in the Prozac equation into the equation. The if you can change the perceptual reality of somebody, let's say in a state of hypnosis, you introduce a psychoactive drug, and you get the person to believe that their family's under threat or they're under threat. You can then change someone who ordinarily would not commit a violent act into a raging animal with hypnosis. That's how you get through perceptual defense. But there's also other ways you can do it too. If someone's, for example, on Prozac, and see, I think this is why the drugs were created. These drugs, you know, and I'm going to speak just very, very plainly here, and I'm going to piss off a lot of psychiatrists who like to make their $300 an hour for writing prescriptions. But Tom Cruise was somewhat correct when he said there ain't no such thing as a chemical imbalance. I would clarify that and say there's no such thing as a chemical imbalance that can be treated effectively with psychotropic medication. People say, well, yeah, I might do a little better. Yeah, but see, your elevated moods or your depressed moods, especially if you're bipolar, you're all over the place. They can't get a drug to find the midpoint because there is no midpoint. Your frequency level's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. You can have rapid cycling, you can have slow cycling between these mood states. So these medications are practically worthless in this, and I hope this is making sense to people. And this is what Tom Cruise was trying to express. He just didn't have the academic background to make it quite as clear, but I agree with him. And then you bring in the Prozac. Prozac's used, it's kind of like garden variety drug. It's like vitamin C. You take it for almost everything. You take it for depression. There is some people in the past that have used it for bipolar. That's a misapplication, but it was done. Prozac's used for anxiety. Prozac's used for personality disorders. If you're obsessive compulsive or you're histrionic, they may prescribe Prozac. It's kind of the wonder catch-all drug. But Prozac is the drug that in the 90s, when you had the mass shooters really starting, Prozac was the drug that most of these shooters were on, and they went through sudden cessation of using the drug. When you take people off these drugs, you have to wean them off slowly, or you can have very unpredictable results. In fact, if you don't believe me, if you know someone that's taking one of these drugs, look at the black box warning they're given. It says, may cause suicidal or violent enacting behavior. That's what we call black box warning. And so they had to admit this because so much of this crap was going on. So the drugs alter the mental state of the brain, change perception, change reality, give somewhat delusional beliefs, LSD, full delusional beliefs. And if you change the perception in the context of reality, you can get people to do just about anything. I hope that makes sense, Doug.
Was Paxil just as bad?
Yeah, they're all bad. Every one of them's bad. The Bushes had an interesting time with schizophrenic medication in the Texas prison system. Before George Bush became president, when he was governor of Texas, he didn't use Haldol for schizophrenic medication. He used the newer ones that cost like $200 a pill, as opposed to 25 cents a pill for a drug that was out of patent. And he carried that practice into the White House. And listen to what they tried to do to our kids. Folks, listen to me, because they've already succeeded in doing this through the back door ADHD medication and so forth. In fact, let me just say this to you parents who have an ADHD kid, and you say, well, they're really hyper, this calms them down, and let me tell you something. If your kid can play a video game for an hour, they don't have ADHD. If they can do preferred activities for a long period of time, longer than 20 minutes really is what we'd say is the concentration span, then they don't have ADHD. It's way overprescribed. Now, let me tell you what George Bush tried to do when he came in to the presidency. He teamed up with this psychologist called Lori Flynn from Yale University, and the government funded this program called Teen Screen. And listen, I know what I'm talking about because I gave testimony at the Arizona State Legislature at a committee on this. And I was talking to my state senator about this at the time, and he said, would you come down and talk to my committee? And I did. And Arizona rejected it. Teen Screen was a move to get the 50 million kids that go into schools every day on some type of psychoactive drug. They would give them these tests. They'd say, come on down to the counselor. We'll give you pizza coupons. They really bribe the kids to take these tests. And if you wonder why I keep closing my eyes, the brightness of the light's killing my eye right now. But anyway, they'd bring these kids in and they'd bribe them to take these tests. And these tests had like 80% false positives. So they were claiming they were diagnosing a mental illness or some type of social phobia. So they'd ask a question like this. Have you ever felt lonely, anxious, or depressed at a social gathering? You're talking to 13-year-old kids. What the hell do you think they're going to say? And so they would then say, okay, well, we have a social phobia here. And in the school day, and they did this, I think, in 43-45% of Illinois schools, for example, they'd send the kids out to an offsite psychiatrist to get medicated, and they never told the flipping parents. And I interviewed people on this back in, not too long after I started radio, about 2008, 2009. I interviewed people who were suing these programs. Now, eventually, Teen Screen fell apart. It fell apart. But the pediatricians got extra attention from the pharmaceutical reps. You know those guys that come in the coats and they're all really handsome or pretty and they're very sexy people, and you're waiting in the waiting room and they get to walk right by you and go in and see the doctor. They're bribing doctors to prescribe these medications to kids. And I'm not joking. We have an army of kids that are medicated. 20% of our nation right now are on these drugs. So when Doug says that this is a big problem, that's an underestimation. And here's the deal. If China ever cuts us off, because that's where the drugs come from now, if China cuts us off, supply chain issue or whatever, this nation will go absolutely freaking crazy. You'll have 20% of the people having Prozac withdrawal symptoms or whatever drug they're on withdrawal symptoms, and you'll see violence like we've never seen before. In fact, let me tell you what my wife said to me tonight. She goes, I can't watch the news anymore, because she watches it just to get the weather. And Doug, listen to this. She said, I saw 5 murders here in the city of Phoenix. We live north of Phoenix, out in the country. I saw 5 murders, city of Phoenix, all of these bad car wrecks, people acting crazy, doing crazy stuff. What's going on? I said, they can't afford their meds. She said, what do you mean? I said, medication of adults has gone from 23% to 20%. So right now you've got 3% of the population that were previously medicated that can't maintain, and they're acting crazy.
Well, and you have a lot of people coming out of correctional facilities too,
these drugs too,
and they're not getting it because there's a huge disparity there. Whenever these guys come out of prison, either federal or state, they have to then go to the Social Security office. They have to have their benefits turned back on and be put on SSI. All right.
Yes, and that's a precondition, isn't it?
It is. It is a precondition.
Yeah.
And then from there, they have to be able to get a ride and a place to live so that they can have an address to go to a doctor's office so they can be prescribed. So that's why a lot of them stay in the halfway houses so that they can be prescribed this stuff. But you know what a halfway house is? A halfway house is a party house. That you want drugs? Go to a halfway house. You want prostitutes? Yeah. Go to the halfway house. That's where all the gang members are. That's where all the pedophiles are. That's where all the would-be murderers are. The halfway house. And they all are there together. There's no supervision. No one's there.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So here's the long-winded point that I'm making. So many people in this country right now are medicated beyond belief that they can be manipulated. Medication changes the frequency state of the brain. And we've talked about this before with Nick Begich's work, and I'll just briefly say this. Nick Begich showed the European Union and everybody else who would pay attention that if you change the frequency of the brain through external stimulation, you can change behavior. You can make people hear voices that aren't there. Kill, kill, kill. And this is what a lot of people will say. The James Holmes guy, you want to talk about federal involvement? This is something that the Aurora police didn't want to get out. But I'm from Aurora, and I have sources there, and I heard the same thing over and over. And interestingly enough, I have relatives that went to high school with him in California. And I don't want to get sued, but you may want to look into what his father did in regard to this area. I don't know, Doug, if you're aware of that or not, but I don't want to really go there because there's liability here because I can't bridge the father to the son with what the father did. But the son, a starving medical student living in a horrible area in Aurora, horrible ghetto area in an apartment. And they had to breach the apartment with great caution because this kid, who was like 22 years old, he had over $100,000 to $150,000 of high grade military equipment. Where the hell does a starving medical student get that crap?
And the apartment complex was also booby trapped.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I see you know about this. And then when they caught him, he actually walked up to a police cruiser and started talking to the cop, and he was lost. He didn't know where he was at. And see, this is what we call a post-hypnotic suggestion. So if you can change the person's reality in a state of hypnosis, go rob this, bring me the money, and then forget you did it. If you can change the reality situation to the one person is completely pliable, emotionally compliant, you can get them to do this called post-hypnotic suggestion, and it works a lot.
And so a lot of this has the effects come out from violence, breaking down a person's mental barriers, fracturing their mind. And then the other part is very much drug and trauma induced. So drug, trauma induced, the interjection of violence, which is just another form of trauma. And then the amnesia part. All right. So amnesia is a deficit in memory caused by brain damage or by disease, but it can also be caused by temporarily by the use of various sedatives and hypnotic drugs. Okay. Which is also occasionally known as soporific, is that right? Soporific, also known as sleeping pills. But these are psychoactive drugs, all right? So the memory can either be wholly or partially lost due to the extent of damages that's caused to the brain through retrograde amnesia or anterograde amnesia. Retrograde amnesia is the ability is the inability to retrieve information that was acquired before a particular date, usually the date of an accident or operation.
And, yeah, the old movie 50 First Dates.
Yep. And the anterograde amnesia is the inability to transfer new information from the short term to the long term. So people with anterograde amnesia cannot remember things for long periods of time. These two types are not mutually exclusive. Both can actually occur simultaneously in somebody. So you do have the ability that if you, you've got to find the right susceptible person, though.
You know how they find them? You know how they find them, Doug? I want to interject this at this point. You know how you find these people?
How?
And then you're going to have a holy crap moment when I tell you this, because all that's going on at the border will start to make sense to you.
I was
going to
say as a child.
Yeah, but you know what it's related to? You know, I'm saying things that are setting my phone off. This is unbelievable. My phone started to talk back to me. I'm shutting it off. That's bizarre. Say hello, CIA, FBI. What we have. I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. When kids are sexually abused before the age of 8, they're still engaged in fantasy thinking. And so they can make themselves believe they're somewhere else and somebody else, and the abuse isn't happening to them. This is why in the Disney movies, for example, they believe the trees talk and that animals and Winnie the Pooh all have their own personalities. It's part of the fantasy thinking. Then we enter what Piaget called concrete operational about the age of 8, and you get into better reality type testing. Cause and effect relationships start to make sense. This is when kids start to do real math too, like division and multiplication. Well, at least they used to before CRT and how to give oral sex when you're 6 years old. But these kids will what we call disassociate.
Yes.
And this is the primary cause of multiple personality disorder. Now, if you take the same person and they're not sexually abused repetitively before the age of 8, let's say it starts to happen when they're 12, like some prominent politician was having sex with his daughter in the shower repeatedly. Okay. And it showed up on Veritas's diary, not to mention any names, of course. But that kind of abuse would cause post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, and maybe even bring out suicidal behavior.
Yeah.
It's a whole different set of schema, but here's what I want you to focus on. The way that you get a compliant person that can disassociate and one part of their personality will not know what the other personality is doing. Now, in some people that have multiple personalities, the goal in therapy is to integrate the personalities where they're co-conscious with each other. But in the early stages of this, and unless there's therapy, they're generally not co-conscious. They generally have what we call alternating personalities that have amnesia for each other. They just have missing time that they can't explain. So if you took the case of James Holmes, and this is what I'm convinced we were dealing with. James Holmes was a multiple personality kid, and I believe he was sexually abused dramatically and repetitively before the age of 8. And this is why we see such disassociated behavior, the missing time aspect. And you can manipulate that through hypnosis. Now, in hypnosis, that's the primary treatment for multiple personality. They don't use drugs. And a good therapist will try to integrate the different personalities. And this can take years, and then you can have a relapse. People can have as much as 60 to 100, 1,000 personalities. Where you and I have mood states for different things, these people invent personalities because they've learned this is how I escape and deal with stress. Because when they're being sexually abused by Uncle Freddy for the 15th time, they can fantasize, that's not Uncle Freddy and I'm not really there. This happened to Billy, who's their alter ego, so to speak. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. The assassins that they're using, the federal government is using in these black operations, these assassins are probably repetitively child abused at some level, so they can disassociate better and they can control the amnesia states for the events they want to keep from investigators or psychologists that might interview them. I don't know. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think a lot of this comes from the SRAs as well, the satanically ritually abused.
In terms of when it starts?
Yes, this is part of that cult, the satanic cults. And, you know, I mean, it's the reason why I like Mambla, right? The Man Boy Love Association.
Yeah, Nambla. Yeah, George Soros sponsored organization. Yes,
uh-huh. they specifically say get them before they're eight.
Yeah, they say sex before eight, or it's too late. Isn't it interesting they chose the age of eight based on what I just told you?
No, isn't it interesting that they say before it's too late?
Yeah, before it's too late.
Too late for what? For this. To capture this. To fracture this. To manipulate this. It's the mind. All right. And these people within the SRA community, they track the victims for life. They track them. They interact with them. They harass them. They continue to rape them. And they continue to fracture them into obedience. And in between all of these assaults upon the body, the assaults upon the spirit are also happening. Because we have to understand that with what we're talking about here with the CIA, these operations, the wanting for assassination and using all these horrific different methods of, you know, LSD and torture and all this other stuff. This is all satanic. This is not patriotic. This is not the greatest generation taking their M1 Grand with a fixed bayonet and killing a Nazi. All right. That's not what we're talking about. This is what the Nazis were working on. Why do you think the Nazis were experimenting on children? So, let's continue with this real quick.
Yeah, let me throw one more thing into this.
Go ahead.
Since we're given the full psychological deal.
We have to go into it.
There's another element to this, too. It's not a one-time manipulation, folks, too. When they get these kids, and this is part of what MKUltra was about, they groomed kids at a young age. Somehow they kept that out of Congress. That was Army personnel that they centered on that were given LSD and stuff. But it was really the objective was the kids. But here's what they do. If you know anything about Pavlov's dog, there's a conditioning process that they put these kids through as well, too. It's not just sexual abuse. Now we can use this fragmented brain to let part of you do these terrible things we train you to do. Why the rest of your personalities forget about this.
Is that where they were beating the dog and then rewarding it?
It wasn't beating the dog. No, that was the Seligman experiment. But it did involve a dog in Pavlov. What he did was he presented the dog food in stage one of the experiment, and the dog would salivate because the dogs do that when they're going to eat. So he said, okay, there's a cause and effect stimulus response relationship. In stage two, he would do the same thing. Here's the food. Here's the dog. The dog salivates. At the same time, just before they gave the food, they'd ring a bell. Well, the bell didn't mean anything to the dog. But pretty soon, through about 30 trials is the average amount it takes to condition a dog like that. Through about 30 trials, eventually when the dog heard the bell, it instantly salivated because it expected to get the food. And this is how you can condition someone to do the same thing. And if you ever played sports, what did your coach do with you? The same drills, the same fundamentals over and over and over. You take martial arts. That's the name of martial arts. Complete repetition, all about conditioning. And this is what we call classical or respondent conditioning. And so these kids not only have fractured personalities they take advantage of, and then they manipulate them with psychoactive drugs or with frequency manipulations of the brain, but they also condition them to do what they want done, and they condition them to forget. See, not just condition them to do what you want to do, you can also condition amnesia under these conditions. Folks, I studied this. This was some of my postgraduate work. I studied this in detail. The old movie with Frank Sinatra called The Manchurian Candidate captured about 10% of what I'm talking about. It's where assassin would go through life. Kevin Costner played a guy like that, too. He's really a Russian. And I don't remember. I think Officer and a Gentleman, I think it was called. And he was really a Russian assigned to the Pentagon. And then something clicked in him and he started to act like the Russian and kill key American people to steal secrets. Officer, I think it was Officer and a Gentleman was the name. This is what you can do. Although Hollywood never quite gets it right. Hollywood butchers the field of psychology. But I will tell you this, Doug, there's no question that these tactics are being used on these kids. And do you remember when we had that Gendron kid, the one who was the Buffalo shooter? Who was with him in the game room? Ex-FBI agents solidifying the conditioning process.
Well, and when we say ex-FBI agents, you have to be very careful, because even if they're retired FBI agents, they can be brought back on as a contractor. Continue what you're doing. So
that's how they keep it off the books, though. It's how they keep it off the books of the FBI.
It is. Project Artichoke, like we've been saying, it led to MKUltra. And MKUltra began in 1953. Remember, between 47, 48, and 49, that's when we had the biggest uptick in the UFO sightings as well. Roswell was at 47, 48. So, you know, I think, what was it? Blue Book was actually somewhere in the 50s with that part. So, you know, all these things are happening right there at the late 40s, the early 50s, all the LSD stuff, all the mind control stuff, the assassination stuff. The men who stare at goats.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
All this crazy, fantastical stuff that has fueled 60, 70 years worth of scientific fiction and movies. It all started right after the falling of the Nazi Empire. Literally, soon as we took over, Nazi Germany carved it up into three or four different pieces. This stuff started up, and it's just a continuation of their experiments. So, Artichoke, it's a mind control program. I got to stare at my notes here for a second. Gathered information together with the intelligence divisions of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the FBI. In addition, the scope of the project was outlined in a memo dated January 1952 that asked, this is a quote for a memo that went out to the intelligence divisions of the Army, Navy, Air Force, FBI, right? Can we get control of an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will and even against fundamental laws of nature, such as self-preservation? When you have the ability to convince someone, put on this suicide vest, walk into that group of troops, you have mind control. Okay. When you have the ability to say, take this gun, go and shoot at all these cops, go and shoot at this school. All right. That's what they were trying to gain back in 1952. And yet we sit here in 2022 and people will call us crazy, fanatical, conspiracy theories. You know, and from the mainstream media to Congress and the Senate, Congress and Senate knows what we're talking about.
Some do. If they're on the intelligence committees, they do. Not all the congressmen know.
Now, granted, Ocasio-Cortez barely remembers who Ocasio-Cortez is. So I got that. But
she knows how to participate in wet t-shirt contests. That's how they found her.
I'm sure she knows.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Bernie Sanders' people found her.
I'm sure she knows how to freaking make a martini, because she, you know, originally the congressman worked in a bar. But, you know, like, this is what I was talking about on my show earlier today, Dave. How did we go from the greatest generation? Loved God. You know, it was God, country, core. That's where we get that man.
You just cut your sound out.
How did we go from, you know, being this greatest generation to immediately, how do I get control of a person?
Drugs.
So that I can make him go and kill a president.
Drugs and media conditioning.
Yeah, but who
you see,
wanted
the media this? Conditions you too.
But listen. You never get to know who wrote the memo. You never, and they did this purposely because everything that's released, you don't get the redacted stuff. Okay. So everything that's released, this is blessed off by the lawyers. The lawyers get to read the redacted stuff. They're the ones who say, oh, no, we can't have this. The lawyers of the Pentagon and the higher echelon of the Intelligence Committee, they're not going to let you know all that. But this is all approved speech. That's why it's released. You will not know the actual ugly, deeper, darker side of this, which is the child sex sacrifices.
That's true.
Enslavement.
Well, it's the adrenochrome. And I'm going to go back to the dual genetics, Doug. Adrenochrome does not appeal to people like you and me. You have to be special to have that appeal to you. I think that's one of the hallmark measures of who belongs to what side.
Buddy, the only thing I can tell you that my body is constantly thirsting for is Copenhagen Wintergreen. Thank God I don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
But this stuff has been in the development 60, 70 years.
No, I can't.
They were advanced then. How advanced are they now?
I know all about this too. His name was, I forget his first name. Last name was Jolly. And he worked at, what's the base where they do all the psychological experiments in Texas? Fort Bragg. They have a psycho division there. Not psychotic, but psychological operations division there. Project Stargate worked out of there for a while.
Yep.
But Louis Jolly, I think his name was, but last name was Jolly. He used to be a spokesperson for shows on psychology, brainwashing. In fact, I saw him. He actually followed this guy around. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was a 1950s DJ and he was trying to set the record for the March of Dimes to stay awake for a world record, which was 8 days. And he was one of the psychiatrists that was hired to follow him. And he said in the interview, this interview, I think was on Discovery Channel. He said how sleep could ruin you and how sleep deprivation was used to brainwash people in the Korean War and our POWs came back not the same and so forth. He was the expert in the field. He's the guy that did MK Ultra, as I found out later. Last name Jolly. And so we do know some of these people. We know who they are. We know that Jose Delgado, who did the first, as far as we know, psychological manipulation of the brain as a Spanish physiologist, goes to Yale for 4 years, stops publishing, goes to SRI, Stanford Research Institute, works for the CIA. He worked there until 2011. I think he joined them in 65. And when he got out, he said, we did things we should never have done. He was dead a month later. So we do know who some of these people are, Doug. But do we know all of them? Oh, no. But I'll tell you who does. He used to be the president, and he was also the head of the CIA. If that's not a hell of a combination, I don't know what is. And I'm talking about George H.W. Bush.
Yep.
He knows where all the, shall I say, bodies are buried when it comes to this technology. Because he was head of the CIA when all this mind manipulation control was going on with the U.S. Army and the CIA.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on.
Yeah, he wasn't far away from the beginning generation of the CIA. And, you know, a lot of those secrets buried with him.
Well, they liked his grit. Alan Dulles actually recruited him. George Bush, he was a hero in World War II,
yep.
Shot down, survived under very difficult circumstances. They go, that's a guy we could use. And that's when they went after and got him. They made him a rich man. But H.W. and they didn't like his dad. Prescott Bush got caught up in that USO scandal, and they had to cover that up. Prescott Bush was a bad, bad dude. The whole Bush family's crooked.
They had a book called The Bush Crime Family.
Well, yeah, they did. Well, exactly. Prescott Bush was still selling Coca-Cola to the Nazis after we cut off trade. And then he got caught. And this is when he was head of the USO. And it was 1943, and he's still trading with the Nazis right in the middle of World War II. And what they did, they couldn't put him in jail because he's the head of the USO. You lose faith in that organization. So they cooked the books, and this is how Fanta Orange was born. They said, okay, you can't send Coca-Cola because it's an American product, but you can produce offshore Fanta Orange and send that to the Nazis. That's what our OSS let Prescott Bush do. Guy was as dirty can be. And his kid and his grandkid weren't much different. Only thing, his grandkid was all cocained up, and he was just a dumbass.
Yep. Humble beginnings. Let me finish this part up, and then I want you to do some commentary on what I'm about to read you. So,
all right.
Project Artichoke, obviously CIA's secret code name for carrying out in-house, which means here in the United States, and overseas experiments using LSD, hypnosis, and total isolation as forms of physiological harassment for special interrogations on human subjects. At first, agents used cocaine, marijuana, heroin, peyote, and mescaline, but they increasingly saw LSD as the most promising of the drugs. The subjects who were left during these druggings were fogged by amnesia, resulting in faulty and vague memories of the experience, even sometimes false memories. And if you could go into false memories, that'd be a good one. In 1952, LSD was increasingly given to unknowing CIA agents to determine the drug's effects on unsuspecting people. Run record actually states that an agent was kept on LSD for 77 days. Okay, it gets better. Artichoke also researched the potential of dengue fever and other deadly diseases. In a declassified memo, somebody wrote to Artichoke that not all viruses have to be lethal. The objective includes those that act as a short-term and long-term incapacitating agent. Okay, I'm building up to something. So the CIA disputed which department would take over the operation. Finally, it was decided that an agent from the CIA research staff, former U.S. Army Brigadier General Paul F. Gaynor, would oversee it. The CIA sought to establish control over it with what it perceived as the weaker and less intelligent segments of society, or for potential agents, defectors, refugees, POWs, and others. So the CIA sought control over what they viewed. Who is they? They are politicians. But they viewed as the weaker and less intelligent segments of society. Just think of what the left calls the right and what the right calls the left, okay? A CIA report states that if hypnosis had succeeded, assassins could be created to assassinate, a quote from a memo, a prominent redacted politician, or if necessary, a redacted American official. The overseas operations took place in locations throughout Europe, Japan, Southeast Asia, and the Philippines, and teams were assembled to manage these operations, and they were told to conduct at the overseas bases operational experiments utilizing aliens as subjects. Aliens being illegal aliens, not actual aliens. We have the willingness and the admittance of the CIA to take a person, kidnap them, torture them, drug them, fracture them, hypnotize them, and then say, you are going to go and assassinate this American official. Oh, by the way, they're going to come from the weaker, what they consider to be the stupider portion of society, or a prisoner of war, or a defector, or a refugee, or even a potential agent that worked for the CIA. Why is this still an organization?
Well, I don't know that we can speak to that, but I can comment on some things you said. As I discussed earlier, they like to raise colonies of children. Boys Town did some of this. Nebraska, Nick Bryant wrote a book on it called The Franklin Scandal. I interviewed him a couple of times. Pretty frightening stuff. But if they don't get the kids early, before the age of 8, with sexual abuse and have split personalities, those kids are really easy to manipulate. Then what they do is they get adults and they go through the paradigm you just mentioned. And you said it very well. Torture, drug use to change reality, hypnotize. And there's also another factor that goes on with this. You keep these people in a state of captivity, or at least a state of extreme dependence. And what we know about kidnappings and hostage situations is that you develop something called the Stockholm Syndrome, which means the longer that you're held by someone, the more you bind to them, because that's your source of living, your food, your water, your shelter, and your protection. So that's part of the process as well, too. So those four elements end up creating assassins. You're exactly right. And that's when they get people, you know, as adults, and they're not ready made assassins to be molded like kids who've been sexually abused.
So let me insert, because there's something called Project Monarch.
Yeah, I know about that too.
Now, you're not going to find anything about Project Monarch. Okay. But I know guys who know of this, and I'm not going to say that again, and I'm not going to go any deeper into that. But with Project Monarch, the abduction of children, the Stockholm Syndrome, kept in a cage, tortured, manipulated, programmed, fractured, grown up as an adult, multiple different personalities, released upon the public. That is Project Monarch. When Russ Dizdar used to talk about the super soldier programs that were out there, he didn't mean Captain America. He didn't mean X-Men. What we're talking about is the ability to take a child and you can break up their mind to speak multiple languages and not know it. And from one situation to another, they can have a certain sound, a light. Some of the evidence even points to even certain smells.
Well, that's the bell in the Pavlov experiment before the food's given to signal
that the event. Personality. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
You wanted me to address false memory syndrome too. There's a number of ways you can induce false memory syndrome. Certainly, drug use facilitates this, but in hypnosis, the training is very, very strict. You're trained as a hypnotherapist to not ask leading questions. Because when you've got someone in an altered state of consciousness, and hypnosis is a measurable state, folks, we have all kinds of brainwave studies on this, MRIs. When a brain is hypnotized, it is extremely different from its conscious state. But we can enter hypnosis naturally. It's a naturally occurring state. For example, you know, you're driving down the road and you're rocking out to the music, and then you go, oh, crap, did I stop for that stop sign? Well, you did, but you turned over the function of your brain consciously to what we call the reticular activation system, and you unconsciously drove the car because you've done it enough times you could do it. and then something happens to bring you back into full conscious awareness, you are in a state of hypnosis when you're off in the clouds and not paying attention. Oh, what did you say? That's a naturally occurring state of hypnosis. So it's naturally occurring, and it is a definitive state. So when you're experiencing hypnosis, you're in a highly suggestible state, and reality can be bent to some degree if someone asks closed-ended questions. I'm going to tell you, there's a real famous case out of California that set all kinds of legal standards that if you're ever trained to be a psychologist, you'll learn this in your ethics class about this case. And there was a case of a minister who took over a church, and he had two daughters, both virgins, or so he thought, and they were early 20s, and both daughters got involved with someone at the church called a church counselor. And you can't call yourself a counselor anymore in any state in the union unless you have a master's degree and you have passed a certifying test from the NBCC. And so they hung out with this counselor, and she said, "Oh, well, why don't we hypnotize each other?" You know, completely irresponsible behavior. And so the counselor hypnotized the oldest daughter, and the oldest daughter says, "Oh yeah, I had a real happy memory with my dad. And I remember sitting on his lap as a little girl." Well, to this counselor, that meant sexual abuse. "Where did he touch you next? And then what did he do? Did he pull down your zipper, unfasten your bra?" And she started all these leading questions, and she caused the subject to confabulate, which was basically to start making up her own scenario. Now, by the time she was done with both daughters, they had both girls believing they had been repeatedly raped by their father and that they had both been impregnated, and he did a crude form of abortion, which I won't say here because it's really off color, but it was very crude. And so the dad's fired. He's arrested. The police are involved. Big scandal, because this is a big church. And so his defense attorney ordered a gynecological exam of the two daughters. They were both virgins. They had never been pregnant. And this led to the case of, you can't do hypnosis unless you're in it. This is in California, at least. You can do it in Arizona, as Arizona is a dinosaur state for politicians. But in California, to call yourself a hypnotherapist, you have to go through, I think it's a 40-hour training, and you have to pass some exam. And you can't call yourself a counselor unless you did what I just previously said. Basically a 2.5-year master's degree program with a 6-month internship, passing a standardized test. And that was because of this case. So what was implanted in these girls' brains about their father was what we call false memory syndrome. It's the primary reason why hypnotic testimony is not admitted in court, because it's unreliable in the hands of someone that uses closed-ended questions. You have to use questions like this. Okay, tell me what happens next. And then what happened? Okay, tell me more. Those are open-ended questions designed to solicit what the person knows. But if you start leading them to conclusions, then you can start going off on a fantasy trip. Well, false memory syndrome can be invoked through drug use and closed-ended questioning. It's actually a fairly easy thing to do. Let's put it this way. If I could give the person the right drugs, I have the skills to make that happen. I know how it's done. Now, I've never done it, and I would not do it. But it is not a difficult skill for people to learn. It's not like these experts sitting in the ivory tower and there's only 20 people in the country that know how to do this. No, that's not true. You could take anybody who has the experience I have and train them to do it, and it would be very easy to do. Okay, the other thing that you said too was LSD. Well, the reason LSD is the most effective of the drugs you mentioned is because it causes a split in the personality again. And this is the objective. You have to divide the personality so the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. And you train the right hand to keep it have amnesia for the other parts of the personality. That's basically the strategy involved. And LSD can help facilitate that because of the fracturing effect it has on personality. LSD is a bad drug to avoid. I should probably say this publicly. Don't go out and try this, folks, because LSD can wreck your chromosomes. It can cause silent birth defects. In other words, you could take LSD. You won't have any symptoms. Something's wrong until your kid's born with four arms. I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing we found in the 1960s. And it's a really bad drug. And then you get the idea of flashbacks. So this is why they used to not let people in the military who took LSD, because they didn't want to have them flashbacks and hallucinating, you know, when they were in combat. And airline pilots, they take a lie detector test to see if they've ever taken LSD. Can you imagine guys coming in for a landing, he starts to flip out? Because what happens, LSD never leaves your system. It's just like a neurotransmitter in the brain called serotonin, and the brain can't tell the difference between LSD and serotonin. So LSD never leaves your system. I mean, you can drink like a racehorse and you can piss like a racehorse. It's never leaving your system. Now, fortunately for a lot of people, LSD moves around, but it very rarely enters a sensory area of the brain. But if it does, you'll have a flashback. I call it frequent flyer miles, you know, two trips for the price of one. Some people have repetitive flashbacks. Some people, like Timothy Leary, this Harvard professor that popularized LSD in the 60s, he took over 10,000 hits and never had a flashback. By the way, his remains are buried in space. Got to wonder who he was supplying LSD for. Let's see what else. Oh, Doug, the other thing, and we got to close on this one. Fabian socialism. When you're talking about using kids, doing snuff films, producing assassins, producing drug carriers, it's also used in the drug trafficking business too. Fabian socialism is the belief that if you don't put more into society than you take out, you should be killed. That's what we heard from Harari, the number two guy at the World Economic Forum early in the week, when he said, there's too many people on the planet and we just can't have that many. That's Fabian socialism. That means they're planning a big depopulation event.
Well, I think what they're really trying to depopulate are the parents from the kids, because they want the kids. They don't want the parents.
That's true. That's true. Well, there's a plan to kill the elderly, too, and it's contained in the reconciliation bill. Oh. Biden's people put a cap on medications. Well, what happens when you get to be 65, 70, you're on Medicare? And this is a Medicare provision. Well, you get cancer, you get serious lung disorders, heart disease.
Do you know who
these medications? Well, let me finish just one point. Okay. These medications are expensive as hell. And with Biden, if they set the cap on the medication and they charge more than that, it's a 95% tax on the medication.
Yep.
So what ends up happening is these big pharma companies are going, screw you. We just won't sell to Medicare. And that means hundreds of thousands of elderly next year are going to die that didn't have to die.
You know who that doesn't apply to?
Who?
It doesn't apply to the president, the vice president, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Congress, or the Senate. Because they all get free health care for the rest
of
the
world. That's right. That's right. That needs to be done away with.
Yep.
That needs... Doug, we've gone way over time. We're going to have to do part two on this because we've just scratched the surface. You're in my wheelhouse, buddy. I feel like I'm teaching psychology again.
Hey, man. It's good to put the guy with the gun with the guy with the brains every now and then.
Do I have a gun? I'm not admitting that. I don't want the IRS kicking in my door looking for it. And that's what's going to happen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've gone way over time. We hope you've gotten a lot out of this, because this is stuff I've known for years. I didn't really link it to Manchurian candidates much when I taught, although I made some vague reference to it. But people used to say, well, perceptual defense, you can never make anyone do anything against your will. And I said, well, if that wasn't true, the CIA wouldn't be in business. That was my answer. And they do use it. Folks are still using it. And they're using a lot of this stuff on the population. See, you can condition people through the media. You can do it through mood music. I could get myself in trouble. I'll be called a racist. But there's some kinds of music that hyperstimulates the hypothalamus of the brain because of the frequency of the music. And that makes one more prone to violence. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. And there's some kinds of music, like classical music, that I can say. Classical music makes you creative. It stimulates IQ development in young children. if they play it before the age of two. We have all kinds of data on this. Baby Einstein videos. Do you guys remember that when you had your kids? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's actually true. That's based on real research out of Harvard. So brain manipulation is being done every day by this government. And I'm going to give you a theme, Doug, that I've never said before on air, but I've told my students about this. I said, watch the sitcoms. 90% of the sitcoms end the same way. These people are getting really close to a goal. You really like the characters, and they get to the goal, and some screw-up happens, and they don't realize their goal, and they go back to ground zero and have to start over. And the whole series is like this. They're trying, and they never fully succeed. This is conditioning the masses that you can't get what you want. It's conditioning you to accept less so they can manipulate you and keep you from fulfilling your potential. And if you don't think I'm right, just think about the sitcoms you've watched in your life. This is part of media manipulation. And they do the same thing, too, with the news. God, if we all acted like they teach us in the news, we wouldn't even get out of bed in the morning if we totally believed everything they said. So this is a fascinating area, and we're going to explore it more. Doug, there's a lot more we got to go through because there's some other programs here that actually will tap into Project Bluebeam and brain manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I'm covering that with Celeste. Celeste and I are talking about this next week, about how this links into Bluebeam. Project Bluebeam.
When we get into, I'll be doing a special on the Montauk Project and time travel. So, you know, to hear a redneck talk about time travel, that's probably going to be hilarious. But this is all.
I wouldn't mind being part of that discussion because Tesla achieved that in 1943.
Mm-hmm.
He achieved it, and he died that same year. And the FBI came and grabbed all his files, and they still won't release them to this day. Well, how long ago was that? That was, 79 years ago, and they still won't release it?
Yeah.
That tells you what he was up to. He had pulse beam weapons, and he had mind control stuff and time travel. He did time travel. By the way, we are traveling in time, in case anybody wonders. We'll have to do a show on that sometime, too. You know, Greg Evenson told me one time, and I only interviewed him twice, best guy ever. Greg Evenson once told me, because he had people that he knew that were into this, he said, anything you've seen on TV,
we've done. Yeah,
I asked Greg, I said, well, Greg, one of my favorite shows to watch is Stargate SG-1, and this is around the turn of the century. I said, are you telling me there's Stargates? He goes, Dave, that's old information.
Yeah.
And as I found out, as I did research, he was absolutely right. We are stargating to places around the universe. Yeah, we have. My dad knew that, too. When he was debriefing theoretical physics from German scientists, and none of this stuff ever ended up in NASA, he knew. He knew there was something much more exotic going on. Okay, we're going to close it down here, folks. I get to go put a patch on my eye and sleep sitting in a chair. I hope you guys enjoy mypillow.com/Hodges because I can't. So enjoy it for me. We'll see you all back here next time. Take care.
Take care. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.